You are now entering Zone 4. Please be seated and prepare to experience the Nerd Aristocracy. Any offences encountered by today's broadcast will not be the responsibility of the Mars Sivex Consolidated Drilling Corporation or its subsidiaries.
Welcome to the Nerd Aristocracy, the podcast for all things nerd. Available worldwide at nerdaristocracy.com. The leaders of the nerd proletariat, your esteemed hosts, Jonathan Bell and Ryan Reinecke.
Yes, indeed. Here we are, proletariat, episode 20 of the Nerd Aristocracy. You were timing that earlier, Ryan.
That's right. 2-0, man. You break that down, divide by 4-5 fucking months.
That is a beautiful thing.
We are, it's like half a year.
Yeah, we are 1 month away from celebrating our half a year
centennial
of
annual.
No. Perennial. No, but I think we've
come far, dude.
We have.
We've added to the masses of proletariat.
That's true.
Started out with like none, except for this contingent in Brazil, and then it grew steadily.
Yes.
Up to about 200 listeners.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. You know, I know we're probably not where we would have wanted to be as far as listener base, but I think we are going about it the right way and concentrating on just doing a good fucking podcast.
Yeah, well, I was very pessimistic, so I expected like nobody except for like our family.
Right.
But I feared them listening to it, lest they find out who I really am.
Sure. Absolutely. I completely agree and can empathize.
So 200 I think
but knowing the wherewithal of creative ventures of both our families, I think our families would be the last people we would expect to step up to the plate and support our artistic and or creative endeavors.
God forbid, that'd be encouragement.
Right, but been a good run, and hopefully some of the things we will be starting to implement here soon will unfold and will do what right by us as far as maybe getting the word spread a little bit faster and a little bit
I think cancer aggressive,
sure,
yeah, mastitized.
Yes.
I gotta get this off my chest,
please.
I witnessed a wreck on the interstate today.
Did you?
Yes, probably two car lengths in front of me.
Okay. I'm
driving on the interstate westbound South Mississippi,
right,
I-10 Saturday. About 80% full capacity, you know, clusterfuck ass traffic.
Sure.
Still pretty thick out there. Listening to a podcast with these headphones on. So okay. This is very safe, first off.
Sure.
The radio in my car, I elected to have disconnected to get me closer to nature.
Okay.
That and the condenser blew out and blew out the whole center console, including the CD player. Fuck. And the AC. That hurts right now.
Six of one, half a dozen of the
other. Anyhow, right now, today I was driving earlier and driving along, listening to a podcast, a competitor whose name I won't endorse, Adam Carolla, pretty funny, you should check it out.
Right.
Do his Amazon click-throughs. I see this plume of brown smoke, like 3-4 car lengths up.
Okay.
Hear anti-lock brakes kicking in, see the flash of red from everybody's bumper taillights on the interstate.
Sure.
Start pumping my brakes and veering over to the shoulder, the left lane. We're on like an overpass wall, concrete walls.
Nice.
Car in front of me stops. I see in the left shoulder of the interstate, there's a trailer that's on its left side. And this is where the dirt and smoke came from. Apparently, they had a blowout. Flipped the trailer on its side. Then there's a green turquoisey like muscle contractor truck that's carrying it, and that's smashed up against a wall. Traffic stops. Across the other side of the interstate in the right shoulder, a sedan stops, and this woman gets out screaming, my baby's in there, like running across three lanes of traffic after this truck just smashed into a wall, and she's like screaming for her child and turns to the traffic like, help me. And this car in front of me goes on about their business.
Right.
And I had that decision, like, okay, I'm trying to get to work.
Yes.
I don't really love that job so much, so meh. Sure. Any distraction. But no, I was like, oh, this is terrible. This is one of those, like, hearts on the scale kind of moments, and probably diminishes the act that I'm talking about it, but it really shook me. And I got out of my car and disconnected my headphones from my iPod so the iPod would stop so I could get back in to where I left off on Adam Carolla's podcast, did the click-throughs, and got out of the car, and this woman, probably hard, early, plump 40s, but screaming just La Pieta towards the truck about her baby. And I think, oh my God, please don't make this be a splatter house on the inside of the cab.
Right.
Like, just baby dashed it on the dashboard.
Yes.
Yikes. the door won't open. I hear the kid screaming, probably about a two-year-old kid, crying out loud rather than whimpering softly. And there's a Mexican fellow in the passenger seat, and the door's kind of stuck. It won't open all the way. And I pull it open and kind of creaks, but then gives. And two Mexican dudes in the front, they didn't speak good English, but they didn't speak English well. The kid comes detached from the back seat, obviously in like an extended cab, kind of toddler, you know, child seat, and appears physically fine. I'm like, oh, God, thank you. There's, you know, nothing horrible here. But for the first few seconds when I opened the door, somebody must have just gone to Quickie Mart or something, because there was like some red Slurpee on the dashboard. For like a split second, was like, fucking phantasmagoria awaits. But watching a lot of movies, I knew it was too thin, even though it was this red in the situation, gloplets all over the place. So long short, kid okay. Mexican dudes filed out, just two, and driver and passenger. What I did notice that was odd is as the passenger was getting out, he took a bottle of pills off the floor and put it in the side little pocket on the passenger side door as he was getting out. Now, that might just be some odd thing that people do in crisis situations, like comb your hair when you found out somebody died. But it was odd. It stood out. And the bottle had kind of like a Centrum or Valtrex or some kind of brand logo. But, you know, who knows what could have been in there.
Right.
But it may have just been heart medication. Anyhow, they got out, called 911. They had heard about it by that time. And advised them to get away from the truck because it kind of smelled like gas. And I always imagine from movies, you know, cars wrecking and they explode almost instantaneously, right, sure. Which in reality they don't. So that was definitely the highlight of my day.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty incredible start to the
It is. It's my first, like, car wreck, and I guess a good car wreck because it turned out pretty well. And the front of the truck got eaten as it slammed into the sidewall there, but everybody's all right, thank God.
Yeah, I can remember the worst car wreck I ever saw was a motorcycle wreck. I was walking down Convention Center Boulevard in New Orleans. I was actually on duty at work at the time at the casino, but I was walking down the street. You know, we had had a concert down the street. And
as a stage manager over there? When you were?
And was walking down Convention Center Boulevard, and this motorcycle was coming west and was, I'm sure, flying because it was a guy with a hot chick on the back of it. So I'm sure he was trying to be Billy Badass. And just revved it when he got down there on Convention Center, down by the casino, and just gunned it. And he was coming down and literally 25 feet to my right in the center of the road, this black car decides to bust a U-turn from the other lane. You know, the lane's going opposite. He makes the U-turn and the motorcycle T-bones the black car right in the side. And they were seriously probably going 65 miles an hour down a city street. And they hit it and flew off the bike. Like, the guy probably flew 50 feet, and the chick probably flew like 75 feet. And
the bitch fell off.
They both flew off.
Where were you situated, like, when you were perceiving this? Were you in a car? Were you on the sidewalk?
I was on the sidewalk walking, and it happened literally. They landed probably 15 feet from me.
Oh, fuck.
And the car, you know, the wreck happened probably 50 feet in front of me, 50, 60 feet in front of me. And they both landed literally. I'm on the sidewalk, and they are right beside me, but in the center lane. Bam. Both of them hit the ground and rolled like
really
15, 20 feet. And me and two other people that were on the sidewalk ran to them. I got to the guy first, and he was wearing a helmet, so you couldn't see any of the damage to his head. But literally, like,
all twisty.
Yeah, like bones going in different directions.
Not by design.
In every appendage in his body.
Was he making noise or?
No. I'm pretty sure he died on impact. Pretty sure he, like, broke his neck or something, because he didn't move, like, at all.
What about the chick?
The chick, she survived. Or at least she was alive when they left, because she was sobbing, like, uncontrollably, like,
wow,
wailing. But yeah, anyway, so that was a pleasant way to start the podcast off. Episode 20.
For a drive.
Buzzkill is possibly the name of this episode.
Where's it going?
But anyway, I actually had a pretty pleasant week. Dealt with the regular stresses of life and work and depression and all those good things. But on Wednesday, the reason why we're recording this on Saturday is because we typically record on Wednesday, but the reason we did not was I was in New Orleans, business meeting, scouting locations for a potential bar that I would like to open in the Crescent City at some point in the near future. So,
do you see any decent possibilities?
Yeah, saw one really cool place in the Falstaff building. They had a space in there, but the problem with that is it's in the middle of the fucking hood, and nobody's gonna want.
Do they have like security detail parking kind of thing?
No, not really. They have one parking lot, but it's.
Yeah, well, they need to lock that down and fucking.
Yeah, without a parking garage and security and all that stuff, it's whatever business goes in there is probably not going to succeed, just because nobody's going to want to be in there after 6 o'clock in that neighborhood.
Well, it could also benefit getting there as one of the first people, so you get in cheap, but you'd have to gamble on the fact that it would become something that other businesses would get in. Yeah. You know, put a Starbucks in there or something.
Right. Well, anyway, so we saw that, and then we saw a place on St. Charles, which had a lot of feeling and whatnot, but it was just a two-story old house that had kind of been at one point a restaurant, but still had that home feel like a lot of the restaurants in New Orleans do, because the house was originally built in the 1800s as a home, and then sometime, you know, around 1900, 1920, there was a restaurant put in there that lasted for, you know, 40 or 50 years. But anywho, so that the structure and design of that building weren't functional for what we were trying to do. And then the third place we looked at was cool. It was a place on Magazine Street. I think it would work the best for the type of venue we're looking at. But it was pricey, extremely fucking pricey. So I don't know if that's the type of, I mean, it's a great location, of course, but.
Now, as a real estate agent, who do you have looking for these properties for you?
A buddy I used to work with
in
New Orleans at my previous company.
Well, if anything, the magazine one's good because now he has something to really focus on and be like, this makes them happy, you know, but price tag, not so much.
Yeah. And, you know, ideally we'd like to be in that area, that St. Charles Magazine corridor, so we can take advantage of, you know, the college money.
That's yeah. And the established traffic there right now.
But that's the numbers I just don't think would work, because you know, when you put yourself that far in the hole, starting off, like before you sell your first draft beer, I think it would be a hard mountain to climb.
Have you estimated your startup costs and everything?
Yeah, we know about where we need to be. I don't really want to get into specifics just yet.
No, it's just you and me, man. Okay.
But
well, good then.
No, it's just me and my old college buddy Phil from my UNO days. He has a lot of experience in the practical running of a food and beverage establishment, and I have the marketing and entertainment background. So we'll see what happens. And that's but it was a good first trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of stick our toe in the water. We're still working on the business plan and whatnot, so we got a little bit of time, but it was nice to kind of dip our toe in the water and see what was out there and see what kind of numbers we're talking.
Right. It seems encouraging, you know. It's all right, let's
for
do
sure.
this.
It's an actual first step beyond just talking about a great idea. You know,
right,
this
right.
is a dream that we've both always had, was to operate, you know, some type of drinkery in New Orleans, a watering hole, if you will. And we both have really good ideas, but we don't want it to be just something that we talk about for the rest of our lives. You know, we both want to move in that direction, at least.
I like that, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Let's talk about it. I can give you some ideas.
Yeah.
If you want to talk, I don't want to get between you and your
I'm sure we'll discuss it more in the future. I think for now I'm content with kind of the pace with which we're going.
Good, because I like being the ping pong wall.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So good trip to New Orleans. Did you guys eat anywhere special? Like, I've been meaning to get back here. Or bar?
We went to Parkway Bakery in Mid City, right across from the city park.
Okay, yeah.
I had the Surf and Turf Po' Boy, which is the traditional New Orleans roast beef po' boy, but they put a layer of fried shrimp on top of the roast beef.
Wow, never had.
Very good. It's called the Surf and Turf Parkway Tavern. Nice.
That's right there at the foot of, what, Carrollton?
Yep.
Okay. Know it well. Never actually eaten there. It's always been too crowded.
Yep.
Visit any good bars?
We went to the Bulldog in...
Right, uptown there?
Uptown, and then later we ended up meeting my friend Kim at the Bulldog in Mid-City, so...
I didn't know there were two.
Yes, there are two. There's one on Canal up by the graveyards, and then there is one on Magazine Street.
Right, the Magazine one's the one I know.
Right across from the A&P or whatever grocery store that is. Anyway, so let's get back to talking about some future plans for the podcast.
Sure.
We would like to formally announce that the Nerd Aristocracy is starting a YouTube channel. Ryan and I are going to start doing some funny videos and viral kind of comedy shorts and whatnot. We each have some good ideas with regards to some practical short.
And now we got to do something. You just talked about it.
That's true.
That's nice. Thanks for just putting our asses out there.
Putting us out there, hanging us out.
Trim to 1856.
Right. Okay. Holding our own feet to the fire, if you will. But I'm looking forward to that.
So. No, dude. I think we'd make some good stuff, some good giggles.
Yeah.
I like that. So what else are we going to do?
We are definitely going to be getting our new segment voiceovers. Should be having those in the next probably 3 weeks, I would say.
Nice. We need to give it to him phonetically this time. Just
yes,
everything.
Exactly. Everything.
Write it down like we're talking to a caveman.
Hooked on phonics, so we don't get a Nerd Aristocracy voiceover.
Hey, he served it though. He came back totally free, man.
But speaking of viral videos, I want to do a new segment to where. When you and I see a viral video for the first time, we kind of share it with the proletariat so everybody's on the same page.
So okay.
If you get a viral video and four weeks later is when I get it, or some people miss them all together, but at least we'll all be on the same funny internet video.
That frequency. Means you and me got to see the video at the exact same time, right?
No.
See, that would be good if we had like a, hey, go find this viral video, proletariat.
Yes.
And then give them a couple of seconds and then sync it up and like have live reaction to it. Like make a point to say, you know, do your Led Zeppelin, Wizard of Oz mix up now.
Right.
No, too much.
This seems like a lot of work.
Well, it'd be hard to ensure that there was a viral video that we'd both like that neither one of us saw before.
That's
also
true.
So fuck that. Let's just do whatever you were talking about.
All right. But there are a few viral videos I saw. We'll post them, links to them under the episode this week. But I saw a very funny, uncoordinated white boy do a dance.
That's rare.
That's always amusing. It could be the new Numa Numa, though. So I'll post that. Then... It's funny that you mentioned the Wizard of Oz,
Pink Floyd. What did I say?
Mix up. You said Zeppelin.
Oh.
But
they're all the same. Right. Good save there. You always condemned yourself.
You could say anybody but Pink Floyd, and I would go along with it. But I was watching. I was looking at various YouTube videos on the Aurora Borealis. And
the Northern Lights.
Yes. Mm. And the best one I found was one by National Geographic.
Oh, fuck, of course.
And it was fucking phenomenal. And then I remembered that in Iran, not the place, the song by the Flock of Seagulls.
Oh.
Iran.
Okay.
They mention the Aurora Borealis. So I was like, I wonder how cool it would be to watch Iran and this national play Iran watch the Aurora Borealis video at the same time. And it's very freaking rad. So we will post a link to each of these items and just open Iran in YouTube and pause it at the very beginning and then click on the Aurora Borealis National Geographic video, hit play on it, then play on Iran and go back and watch the video full screen, and I promise you, you will think it's cool.
Just from the beginning? No, not from any certain time code?
Nope. Just hit play on Iran and then play on Aurora Borealis.
Cool. We can remix that. That's no problem. We'll do it for him. Proletariat will just have a direct link
there
with that. Yeah.
All right. I was trying to save you some time and energy.
You're calling
me
out.
You love the proletariat. You love the
I'm an OCD perfectionist.
You do what you can.
They serve us well.
The last viral video I wanted to mention, Maria's audition tape, which I just showed you.
That drummer?
Yeah. No. The funny video with the guy dressed up as...
Oh, right.
So that's a very funny video. Very good comedy character this guy has created.
She is kind of trashy, but she's hot.
There you go. So we will post a link to that. I think the proletariat would get a quick laugh out of that.
Oh, absolutely. I got a couple of minute laugh.
So you went and saw Super 8, correct?
Correct, dude.
Give us the Ryan Reinecke movie review.
Okay, no spoiler zone, all right?
Yes,
I fucking hate that. I avoid trailers. I avoid commercials, even too informative posters.
Seriously. Which, by the way, Super 8 has an awesome freaking poster.
I think you brought that up last time. I since looked it up, and yeah, it's totally E.T., the Goonie style, kind of dry brush almost sure. After effect on the main figures of it. And without giving anything away, I saw it with my wife and my kid, who's 7 and is PG-13, but I kind of did enough research to where I could kind of roll the dice and be like, all right, there's not going to be anybody getting raped in the ass.
Right.
Or
Robin's mature enough.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't... Girl with the dragon tattoo.
No, she did not like that. And then she didn't want to read all the words. And she cried at the rape scene. We went to go see the movie. And, you know, I'm not going to give anything away. So the movie starts off, and it takes a while to get to the action, which I like. You know, I'm just going to talk about the style that it was shot in. Did you see the new Star Trek movie, 2009? That was a J.J. Abrams joint.
It was indeed a J.J. Abrams joint.
J.J. Abrams, fame of Lost and... other stuff that I can't name right now.
Right.
Directed this and some monster movie, that escapes me right, Cloverfield, which was like a shaky cam expedition. Did you see that one?
I did. My friend played the cameraman.
What?
And yes.
No way.
Way.
He got in there, right? A little bit, huh?
Very little.
Yeah.
Like, I think at the very end.
Camera gets thrown into a mirror or something.
Yeah, he was joking about it. I heard him joking about it one time. And he was, you know, just saying like, it's ironic that I finally get the lead role in a fucking
hot-ass film, yeah.
A top-level, you know, blockbuster, and I'm on screen for 15 seconds. But
Cloverfield was much better than I was expecting. But it, what I've noticed in Star Trek, and maybe Cloverfield had it, I got to watch it and see again, but he uses a choice, a very thumbprint kind of way to put his directorial stamp on something, is to use a certain light filter that makes every source of illumination kind of come out at this weird horizontal arc that like spreads the entirety of the screen. And so he's got that in some moments, of course, doesn't overdo it. But the story's really well written. They keep the mystery up. You don't even start to suspect things when the kids start having the thing under their skin. I won't say too much. The military comes in at some point in it. I won't get into details. So there's a good military kind of conspiracy thing almost. Not saying too much. So when you find out that they were really working with scientists to open gates to hell, it's really catches you off guard. Now, I'm not going to say too much about this, but forget. It's not about that. All right. Go see it. It's good. Good for mature kids and adults of all ages. I dare say it's one of the best films I've seen in the past year or so. You should go see that tonight, but I understand you're going to see the Green Lantern.
Not sure.
I talk more about it, but I don't want to ruin the movie. It's really great. It's really good. It has a couple of good subplots going on in it that you have to see. And it's heartful. You know, it made my heart
thump. I'm going to let you keep running with this tear. Comedy bit, but I think you should have abandoned it like a minute and a half ago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Probably. I didn't know where to get out. You should have thrown me a line.
That's all right. Damn. I was... anyway, so yes, I do want to go see that, but instead I think my friends are planning to go see the Green Lantern. So I will support the New Orleans shot Green Lantern.
And that's good of you.
I'll get me a big tub of popcorn and, you know, hopefully it gets more of a draw than Jonah Hex did.
Were you in Green Lantern?
I was not in Green Lantern, but for my fellow New Orleans actors and actresses,
get some screen time, some love.
That
I hate to say, yeah. I read reviews on it. Rotten Tomatoes is kind of poo-poo.
Yeah, you know, that's what they said about Jonah Hex, and we all know how Jonah Hex ended up being cinematically.
Well, when it sweeped the Academy Awards, sure. I mean, people were like, "Shit, where took has
little,
this been?"
Took a little while for the respect to get out there.
Yeah, well, it's one of those movies ahead of its time.
They said those featured extras and under five people really acted the shit out of that Jonah Hex movie.
Well, it's the first year that category was open, you know. It's good just to be nominated.
Right. So, anyway, why don't we take a brief intermission, a brief pause for the calls, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Back in a sec. Pretty freaking swank, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. One day when I have money, I'm going to go to Northern Europe and scope out the Aurora Borealis live in color.
I was wondering how close do shrooms grow to where you can appreciate the Aurora Borealis or any native hallucinogen? Do the Eskimos have something like that?
I don't know. I'm sure there are copious amounts of marijuana floating around Northern Europe. So
really?
Yeah. Huh.
See, I wonder how much...
like literally floating in the water, but
you know, no, there's some.
Like I'm sure if you go to your local pub and or Denizen, you would be able to locate illegal substances in copious amounts.
What are we waiting here for?
You're pretty pretty liberal towards that kind of stuff. But anyway, I know we mentioned Green Lantern right before the break, mm-hmm. and wanted to tell you about a article I found. Somebody, one of my New Orleans friends, posted on their wall. But during a recent press junket, you know, a press tour for Green Lantern, mm-hmm. The stars of the movie, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, were asked a kind of a derogatory question about New Orleans by a pseudo journalist.
Like a loaded question? Like, how disgusting was New Orleans?
Yeah, just
how many times did you get wrong?
A journalist trying to pretend like the story he's been assigned to write is a real important, you know, emotionally, culturally relevant story.
Okay,
you know
what was
I mean?
The question? Yeah.
He says, Ryan and Blake, you guys were in Louisiana, which were pretty desolate where you were filming. So could you tell me what you guys did in your spare time? I know, Blake, you did a lot of baking. And for Mark and Peter, you guys were very unrecognizable. Can you please talk about the heavy-duty prosthetics on yourselves? So the first part of the question, he basically put some undercover shit where, hey, we all know New Orleans is a piece of shit.
Stinking wreck shit
town. Mm-hmm. How did Hollywood movie stars like you...
How did you survive?
...survive in a shitty town like New Orleans? And this was Ryan Reynolds' response. And I quote, "First off, let me defend New Orleans as far from a desolate place. New Orleans is one of the most exciting, incredible communities in the world. There's such a rich culture and history, and there are innumerable things to do. It was actually the exact worst place you would want to bring a bunch of never-do-well actors to shoot a big-budget movie. Thankfully, everybody reeled it in and kept it contained. For me, anytime you step outside of your house in New Orleans, you're going to see something incredible. You're going to hear some of the best jazz music, eat some of the best food, and see some of the best entertainment in the world. That's a city that keeps getting knocked down, but they just keep getting back up. There's a real spirit there that amazes me to this day." And that's what Ryan Reynolds said. And then Lively...
Dude, he had to have that pre-written. And, like, that's just beautiful. I don't want to like Ryan Reynolds that much. God damn it.
Right? No, I don't think he did. I think he was just, you know...
Fucking right on, dude.
Most of the big-time actors that come down there all pretty much leave with the same opinion.
Yeah,
I think Jamie Foxx was probably the only one that left with a bad taste in his mouth, and that's
Vince Vaughn because he's drunk
all the time. That's because his underage sister tried to get into the casino one night, and they wouldn't let her, so he caused a big fucking stink.
I'm a movie star.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just thought that was a cool story about how, you know, it would have been very easy for them to say, you know, we survived.
Yeah, we got out of there.
But they were like vehement. And
no, you little prick.
Right?
Listen to this.
Yeah, New Orleans is actually a pretty cool fucking town.
They shit out better people than you are writing for whatever newspaper.
Right. But anyway, so maybe that's that defense was well worth the price of my admission.
Yeah, now I kind of want to see it. Right. Honestly, just be like, yeah, Ryan Reynolds, here's fucking $10.
But it was funny because while I was thinking about New Orleans and whatnot, you ever have those moments where something from your past, something weird and random and small and insignificant pops back into your head, mm-hmm. like a very specific detail.
Oh, yeah.
I remembered back when I was living at UNO, on the public access channel, this old black woman had this this channel or mm-hmm. this program on local access, and her name was Sandra Hester, and she's like famous around New Orleans for going to like city council meetings mm-hmm. and like letting everybody know what the fuck is up. And it's funny because she's very educated, you know, you can tell she's a smart person, but she's just still, it's a funny juxtaposition because she's still got that like,
excuse me, Altman. Yeah. What do you think you're doing?
Excuse me.
We have no potholes going to fill.
You know, that kind of New Orleans flavor. And
that's beautiful.
So, yeah, if you YouTube Sandra Hester, there's a few of her videos on YouTube, and it's pretty freaking funny. But Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, last name Hester, H-E-S-T-E-R, a true New Orleans icon, that woman. Anyway.
So did you catch that on TV, or you see that somewhere, or you just kind of, it hit you, like, oh, there's one of those little things that I miss?
Yeah, it just kind of hit me, because I was thinking about New Orleans and videos, and I was on YouTube a little bit, and I was thinking, what was the name of that old woman who I used to watch on cable access that was so fucking funny? And then I remembered her name, Sandra Hester, and then I YouTubed her, and there are actually a couple of videos on YouTube of her, like, in front of the city council, like, oh, no, you didn't. We need to edumacate our churns. You know, like, very...
Oh, New Orleans.
Yes, it's, the comedic value is very high. But
one last time I was in New Orleans, real quick, I had a similar experience. It was more or less in reminding me of something specific from the past, but more of reminding me of something general that I terribly miss about New Orleans.
Right.
Something Reynolds said, you know, every day you're going to see something amazing. Early in the morning, laid over, staying the night at our friend's place, got up early to go get coffee at this awesome little not Starbucks coffee joint around the corner.
Right.
This German coffee place in the French Quarter, just a couple blocks off Canal. And we were walking down there from a night before, so still kind of inebriated from the revelries the night before.
Right.
Nice, honest cup of coffee, reasonably priced, kicking my ass, helping lull me back into this world. And this woman's coming down the streets with a cart that she's pushing, going, pralines, candy cookies, beignets, pralines, candy cookies, beignets. And it's just like, oh my God, like, this is important, you know? Yeah. And she was dressed up beautifully, you know? She looked like some Nubian matron that had come out, maybe like a really vital early 40s or something like that, or a nice headscarf and dress and pleasant and, I don't know, just floating like a flower through the streets, and it was just remarkable.
Right. Yeah, I have a lot of those moments in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think you see that stuff clearer when you get some distance, though.
Sure.
You know? You got to leave a place to see it with new eyes.
To really know what you're missing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I would agree with that. But anyway, speaking of some people trying to make life better here
mm-hmm.
on the coast where we live, a friend of mine just opened an art studio, art exhibition gallery type place. It is on Government Street in Ocean Springs. It is called the Creativity Studio.
Nice.
The owner-operator is my friend Christy Jolly, and...
Did she pay extra for that name? That's awesome.
It's a pretty cool name. But anyway, anybody in the area should check it out. It's at 1508 Government Street in Ocean Springs. Their phone number is 228-818-8780. I'll give that to you again. 228-818-8780. And they're really cool people, and what they're trying to do is really neat. They're trying to just stock a lot of local, unique, affordable art so that people like you and I and people that don't have $500 to go buy an oil painting can go in with our $20 or $30 and get a really cool piece of local art, but they're going to stock enough to where, you know, it's not going to be one of five things.
Well, keep it varied. Yeah, not eight rows deep of snow globes.
Right, and it's everything. It's
That's the great thing.
From the avant-garde to contemporary to classic, and multiple mediums. You know, like they're gonna have sculpture, they're gonna have painting, they're gonna actually carry some of my wood burning.
Yeah, I was gonna get to that. I've seen you with your little wood burning kit out.
Right.
Your perfectly sanded cuts of tree.
Yes.
And your stencils and shit. You took me through the process.
Yep, I did.
It's interesting, man.
Thank you. But the Creativity Studio in Ocean Springs is going to stock a few of my pieces.
What's the address again?
1508 Government. So hopefully they will have some much success, and hopefully I can move a piece or two here and there, and everybody can be happy. But if you are in the area now or will be in the area, you should definitely plan on stopping by Creativity Studio in Ocean Springs. So,
Real quick, Jolly. Yes. How does she spell that? Is that like Jolly Roger or Jolly like the French with an I? Like Jolly.
I believe it's J O L L E Y.
Dude,
I believe.
Nice. Oh, I know where that place is.
So anyway,
check awesome. That out. Shall do. Shall do. I know some people to refer to her, actually, that are people that are doing little hobby works of art that are really interesting and unique and sure. Shit like that. And that's, you know, one of the redeeming things about where we are is that there's that seed there that's growing that in, you know, 7-10 years might be baby Austin-esque. Right. I saw my first rickshaw, or a guy running, carrying two people in the back of a little wagon, I guess ostensibly driving them from their car or riding them from their car. Or rickshawing them from their car to some bar or something like that. And I was like, nice, you know, yes, more of that thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you are doing here? Yes, more
I felt like just tipping the guy.
Sure.
Dude, keep it up. Here's $5.
Yes.
I'm fucking broke, but this is awesome.
There you go. Speaking of art, I've been watching, I was going to save this for nerding out, but it is also arts related. Watching Art for Art's Sake, the art auction on WYES out of New Orleans,
really?
The PBS station. Every year they have the annual art auction, and many, many hundreds and hundreds of artists in New Orleans donate a piece or two, and galleries donate pieces, and private individuals donate pieces to this annual art auction. And now it's grown so big that it takes 2 weekends.
Wow.
Like, they do it all Friday night, and what you do, you can be either in studio, or you can be online, or you can be sitting on your sofa like I was, watching, and they'll live
this
auction.
This next piece is from artist blah blah
exactly.
Contrell.
And it's very cool, and I don't know if other PBS stations around the country do that, but in New Orleans, they've been doing that for a long time, and I was thinking, I look forward to the day when I have enough expendable income where I can actually support that kind of shit, where I can actually call in and be like, you know what? I like that painting. I'll pay $400 for that painting and not be like, oh my God, $400.
Right.
But you'd be like, where the fuck am I going to pull $400
this
from?
Is going to a good place. That's legitimately something that somebody crafted that's
sure.
Well done.
And somebody like me can enjoy that. Like, I like having art. I like, you know, even if it's just from a friend, I like being able to appreciate it for the work and craftsmanship that went into it, whatever it is, whatever medium it is. So, anyway, that leads me to say that...
let's rob a bank.
One of my desires is I'd like to start, like, a collection of art made by serial killers.
Oh, I'm sure there's a market for that already.
I know that sounds weird, but I know John Wayne Gacy painted when he was in jail. Mm-hmm. I know Charles Manson paints.
Oh, wrote songs, too.
Yeah, but I think it would be super cool to start like a collection of like jailhouse art.
In your mansion.
Yes.
This fantastical one in the
sure,
future where you house
sure, yes.
Your rare
where
collectibles.
I have all this stuff, yeah.
You should have this in a side room off, like, your library. Like, you have to push
sure.
A book and a door slides, and then it's, like, all black glass and then these artifacts. Like,
yeah.
Oh, what are these diaries?
That
oh, that's
cool.
Charles Manson's
that would
collection.
Be cool. Like, a little secret door off my office, and then you walk into this hall, and it's like a black hallway, and then they have like almost like aquariums, like you would see at like in a, you know, aquarium of the Americas or something.
Hermetically sealed.
Yes, but instead of fish in the fish tanks, it's just display cases.
Yeah.
With little, the fancy note cards that say what it is and who did it and how long it's been in.
You have a little table with a little...
the Jonathan Bell Fine Arts Collection.
A little plaque on it, and then a little map that tells you what everything is.
Yep.
And then a really nice, delicate magnifying glass.
Sure.
Go up and inspect every piece.
Yeah, it would be
and
cool.
That's where you kill your women.
It'd be cool to have like a well-respected art collection.
Dude, man, that's like liquidity. You know, that's better than stocks in some cases.
Sure, absolutely.
Don't disclose that shit. You have that fucking golden parachute, that lost Van Gogh, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
one day.
So let's rob that bank.
One day, man.
I won't tell anybody about it. Rob bank.
But anyway, what do you bring into the NA dinner table this evening?
Dude, I got a smattering of stuff. I will start off with, what's got my cackles most raised. Lulzsec.
Yes.
Lulz Security. We've mentioned them before. We're back again. Some people say the hijinks they're doing is just to be the media whores that would want to masturbate this much in public and get attention.
Right.
So there's two camps. These people are saying that, oh, they're doing it to be pains in the asses, and it's infantile and it's unprofessional. And if they were professionals about it, if they found a hole in somebody's security, they would go to that company or organization and show them that insecurity. And then if the company that they showed it to didn't correct it or hire them to correct it or disclose it, then they would let it known to the public. You know, that's kind of a typical gentleman's hackery, I guess. Where like, hi, Jonathan, I know a way to break into your house. I'm going to tell you about it. And if you don't fix it, then I'm going to tell other people how to break into your house. That's kind of the nice way to do it.
Right.
The not nice way to do it is to find a way to break in your house and to come in your house and steal your phone.
Sure.
Or something you'll miss.
Right.
That is compromising and embarrassing to have just out there. And that's what they're doing. Essentially, they're finding holes in these companies and breaking in and stealing shit and going out and telling everybody that they stole this shit.
Right.
They've done this to Sony multiple times. They did it to online games, Minecraft, other favorite nerding out online games that I'm not involved in, but millions of people are. The FBI, the CIA, twice. Now, the FBI can't determine whether they just did an FBI affiliate or they actually did the FBI's public site. Even if they did an affiliate, that's kind of a backdoor into the FBI. If you can compromise
you're
their system.
You're still digging your own grave to a high degree.
But see, here comes the question. Do they deserve to be publicly executed? Or are what they're doing beneficial in a way if it gets all these companies to really tighten up that sloppy coding and protection for these delicate agencies?
It's not going to matter in the eyes of the prosecution. Because you know the government is going to be coming after these assholes with everything they got.
Yeah, well, they're all spread out. They're like Anonymous. Anonymous isn't like this. They're more hacktivists. Like, they'll do something if there's a cause to be fought for.
Right.
These guys are just doing it to fucking jerk off thermal paste on everybody's face and right. laugh about it.
Yeah.
Thermal face bukkake. I don't know how I feel about it. I kind of feel like the method by which they're handling this is kind of repugnant and lacks any taste or decorum
right.
or code of ethics.
Right.
You know, even like a criminal code or a pirate code, they have their form, and it's somewhat, I guess, romantic for lack of a better word.
Right.
These fuck rods don't. They just put stuff out there. They don't tell people about it and then try to protect it. Maybe in the grand scheme of things, these corporations will be better secured. But if these are all the only people that are fucking with it in the first place, then who else would? I guess maybe some Chinese hacker that works for the government. Or will there be like massive legislation clamped down and we'll actually lose freedoms of internet and free operation because things like this are happening? There's that argument out there too. Anyway, they issued a manifesto that's saying, oh, it's fun just to fuck with people and stuff like this, and we're doing it to point out flaws. So it might grow from it. thank you, bitches, is how it ends. It's very guzzling Mountain Dew, squirting pimples in the dark between games of World of Warcraft. There's a commentary on Reddit, which is a common nerding out bulletin board, almost old-fashioned BBS.
Right.
And they basically say, hey, stop reposting stuff from these guys. They're just attention whores. You know, they're petty thieves. They're not talented. Yeah. The level of attacks that they're doing are unsophisticated to a certain degree within the hacker community. And this is written by an ex-hacker, too. He's saying all they're doing is, like, SQL injections and stuff like that, SQL, excuse me, and just putting innocent people's asses out there. And PBS, come on, dude. Fuck you guys, really?
Yeah.
So fuck those guys. In words about perverting the internet, I guess, or abusing it, counter to that is your tax dollars at work. The United States government pumping millions of dollars into projects that are basically self-deployable internet in a suitcase, where you can give it to a dissident of a country like Syria that's government is cracking down an autocratic rule and cutting off communications. You give somebody a briefcase and they can run on the second story of a building that's non-disclosed, open it up, and simply turn it on to enable access to cellular networks and internet out of that country that's been locked off by the government.
Right.
That's really inspiring. I mean, as much conspiracy theories as I love about government stripping freedoms away and stuff like that, they're actually pouring millions of dollars into these entrepreneurs that are making these devices. So they're ensuring that there will always be a method for the common person to be able to speak out, that freedom of speech. And that's what they're flying it under, but it comes very close to fucking with people that we have trade partnerships with, like Saudi Arabia, who's got an autocratic rule, and they could fucking turn off the light switch on the internet and the cellular network there if things get hinky, as they have been.
Sure.
Might not have heard in the Middle East. But it's great. And they're trying to make it so simple to, like, no matter what language, there's pictograms on the inside telling you how to set up this computer and these simple components. And then that they'll act off each other. Like, if that one guy's gets blown up, no problem, because it's decentralized. And somebody else's computer in a nearby virtual web will have that same information mirrored and continuously going on and uploading. And they've already put something like this in place in Afghanistan when the Taliban shut down the main network. And they were turning down communications from sundown to sunup so they could do anything during the night and nobody would be able to warn anybody about it. Uncle Sam was like, fuck you. And so they put cell towers on all military outposts to be able to combat this. Senator Hillary Clinton is very big in giving the face to this front in soliciting millions of dollars for this cause. Let me see if I can find something. This comes from the New York Times, by the way. It's an excellent article. Clinton has made internet freedom into a signature cause, but the State Department's carefully framed its support promoting free speech and human rights for their own sake, not as a policy aimed at destabilizing autocratic governments, which somebody counters, well, you can't say give everybody free speech without challenging a government that denies free speech. So right on, you know, fucking Team America. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
This is awesome.
Yeah, it's good to hear we're doing something positive.
Yeah, so that's freeing up the internet, you know, really, really changing things, you know?
Right.
Mean, prior to this, you'd have to meet in alleys or hand pieces of paper back and forth. You very hard to get out any abuses by a government if they didn't want it to get out, man. I mean, that's the first thing a dictator knows to do is turn off the communications.
That's it.
The power and all follows.
Even thousands of years ago, Sun Tzu knew that, you know? The art of war, man. Communication. Control the other side's communications, and you will win the war.
Yeah, I love that.
No matter how small your fucking army, dude, if you can control your opponent's communication, that's it.
That's something I think I'd be good at in the military. If I could be in some psyops think tank and, like, come up with, like, you know, undermining government stuff and put it out there, like, over the radios, but in the people's own language to where you kind of seep it in between commercials and stuff like that.
Right.
That'd be nice. I'd like to topple governments is what I'm saying.
I picked up on that.
I need to write it down. And lastly,
you're like, the military is the only place where that on a resume looks good.
That's where they won't put you in jail. They Might Be Giants. My friend Mathuna emailed me this link. He knows I'm a big They Might Be Giants geek from way back when.
Right.
Discovered it through a very pretty girl in art class.
Of course.
Was playing some in her car when she was giving me a ride home one day from school.
Yes.
Very innocent. Gina was her name. Okay. And Molly was her other friend's name. They were ahead of me, so they were even more unattainable than just regular girls would be.
Right.
For no reason except for what exists in my little fucking self-conscious brain.
Yes.
but heard some They Might Be Giants, probably the Flood album, you know, Istanbul, that's probably their best-known hit. And was blown away by it because it wasn't like the shit you just heard on the radio. I've never been a big music person. Like, it's hard for me to find music to like genuinely.
Right.
And that makes me very limited if I go to some mixed party or company like that and they're playing music and everybody knows the tune and I don't.
Yes.
But this article goes into how they really embraced electronics and technology from an early age on into their music. Without going full bore super nerd into it, like they've always used to sequencing since like their second or third album, Lincoln, and they were actually the first band to put a full length MP3 only album on the internet. They have that distinction. I guess some independent labels might have before, but they were the first licensed band who took a point to do that. Like, this is only available on the internet.
Right.
So that's pretty nice. It's pretty groundbreaking. Back in 1999, that's 14 years ago. And they were smart dudes. I mean, they're nerds themselves, so they were like, okay, well, they saw technology advancing from the 70s, and they're like, well, one day you'll be able to fit your whole, you know, album of a band into your pocket.
Sure.
But now, of course, you can fit, like, many albums from many musicians in your pocket. So good. I need to revisit them. They have a new album coming out. I haven't listened to them in a while. They took this kind of side route where they started doing like children stuff. They did the theme to Malcolm in the Middle. Don't know if you know that. You're Not the Boss of Me.
Yes.
Then they went into some children stuff because I guess they started having kids and could write for that. And they were like, hey, there's Fat Bank. You know, yes. People that were nerding out on us got somebody knocked up. That's another nerd probably. And now they have a nerdling that they need to indoctrinate. I should actually make my kids suffer through that. Let me see if I can find the name of their next album.
Well, speaking of music, I got
Join Us is the next album from They Might Be Giants.
Okay.
Coming out soon.
There you go. Everybody will keep on the lookout for that. Don't you hate it when you get bad musical recommendations from people? Like, when's the last time somebody was like, hey, totally check out this band or listen to this album? And you listened to it and it was a big fucking turd.
Yeah. I thought you were going to ask me last time to remember I was blown away, which I would really have to remember. The last time it was a big fucking turd was probably last week.
Yeah, it was... Somebody sent me the other day this...
This is awesome.
Yeah, some female white rapper named Krayshawn or something, and the song is called Gucci Gucci. And I listened to it, and it was unlistenable. And I went back to him and I was like, was that a joke? Like, did you really send this to... Like, I'm hoping you were joking because that was the fucking worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
I'm hovering over unfriending you, dude.
Yes,
let me know.
It was terrible. And he was like, no, man, that's awesome party music. And I was like...
What fucking party are you going to?
Wow, man, that was fucking terrible.
The fucking
like, I was
wash
really
my
blown
ear
away.
Out,
I was
gorilla.
Just like... I don't think I could write a worse song as far as, like, virtually unlistenable song. I don't think I could do it.
Well.
That's how bad this was.
I almost got to listen to it. I want to feel that disgust.
You should. You should definitely listen to
you
it.
You should treat
and
yourself
you should,
to that.
You should agree with how fucking terrible it is. Oh, man. But
that's weird. What does that do for your opinion of dude? I mean, obviously, it's got to
shake
it
somewhat. He's a good
he's a good man.
He's a
he
good old
kill
friend,
anybody.
You know? I mean, we haven't hung out very much in the past 10 years, but, you know, we had similar music tastes back in high school, but I guess they, at some point, deviated.
Branched.
Which is kind of sad, but anyway, I'm sure I'll get by. Speaking of music, helping my parents clean out the garage and thin out their, they've recently moved, so they're kind of trying to pare down. My dad gave me a lot of his, essentially all of his old record albums. There's not that many, and but there's a lot of classic country, you know, Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and then there's some like Otis Redding and, you know,
some
that
real
kinda,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of generation. So it makes me want to.
It's about 40 of them at least.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are ones I already had, like, in my collection.
Okay.
I had a pretty respectable vinyl collection before Katrina.
And then, record player, man.
Of course, lost everything in Katrina and have not bought a new record player since.
No, you spent it on an Escalade outside.
Yeah, right, with rims.
Fat ones.
But, you know, so I want to replace it. Mm-hmm. That's just one of those things that's on the list, you know.
See, I would
whenever
know.
You get ahead and, you know, begin to rejoin the surface, this is when, you know, that's when I can buy it. But right now I'm still
paddling other shit
financially
to invest your money on, right?
Sure.
Can I have a record player? Am I going to eat well?
Like power and
well, I like that my filth leaves the apartment when I pull the plunger.
Things of this nature.
Where would one go to get a record player? Like, I see some at, like, Target sometimes are, like, combination CD players, record players, and they're kind of in this retro antique style that looks pretty smart and stuff like that, but that only tells me that it probably is shitty.
Yeah, they sell contemporary ones. I think they carry, like, one at Best Buy, but... I would buy mine from Musician's Friend because they're the cheapest music instrument and or musical speakers, that kind of stuff.
If you get one like recertified or something like that from a trusted source, that would be nice because you wouldn't pay full retail, I would hope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I would buy a used one though. Musician's Friend has some new ones that are not like scratch mix DJ turntables.
Right, well, those are different altogether.
Techniques or something, but you know. They carry ones from like Sony and then one or two off brands. That's where I'd probably end up getting it, but I definitely miss that experience that I used to have a lot pre-Katrina. It was enjoyable. You know, I don't know if part of it was just the mystique of living in New Orleans, but
playing
on Sunday
records.
Afternoon to put on a record and you know, open up the windows and sip a whiskey and Coke or a mint julep or a Tom Collins and listen to some, you know, doo-wop or classic rock or something like that. You know, it was fun.
Put on your sock hop shoes and your poodle skirt.
That's it, man. Whatever.
That sounds romantic.
It is.
It reminds me of my grandmother has a old cabinet record player at her place. That's probably the size of that credenza over there.
Right.
Maybe not quite as long. Don't know if it works or not, but it would be awesome to make a point to go over there one day and fix that. Note to self.
Yes.
Decrease interest of show by writing notes to self. Check out Granny's record player. See if it works. If it does, invite some people over and party at Granny's because Granny's in a home.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be cool, dude. Wouldn't have to clean up.
That's a long note to self.
Well, that's why
say like 3 or 4 post-it notes.
It's like an audio note. I just stick the MacBook Pro in my pocket and I record things. Get milk.
Shut down.
Yeah, microphones a bit, but extension cords.
What else you bring in today?
What's the more interesting of the two? Well, you probably knew this. Humans are evolving slower than at first thought.
Really?
Yeah. Go figure.
You don't say.
Some places it's going backwards.
Right.
A recent study, it appears that there are less mutations from each parent couple to child product than previously thought. Roughly 60% less, thus humans are growing slower. Because mutations dictate the change in the evolution that goes on. So if there's a third less changes, then if there's 60% less changes, then we're only growing one third as quickly as previously thought. That our genome is made up of 6 billion pieces of information called nucleotides. 3 billion from each parent goes into the mix. And there's an average of like 100 to 200 different changes in between the parents' combination of nucleotides and what the child actually develops on their own.
Right.
And the changes in its greatest once thought. However, later in the article, it says that they did this study on, like, two families. So my response is, well, how big of a fucking swath of the gene pool is that if you do it with two families?
Right.
Right? I mean, don't you need to, like, look at people of different socioeconomic backgrounds, different ages, different cultures, different ethnicities, blah, 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 before making assertions like this? So... not surprising, but the data is wanting.
Understood.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you announce our first ever track back? That was pretty cool, huh? Pointed out by DJ Andy Redrum.
Yeah, I guess through my programming prowess and ignorance, there was a a checkbox on the WordPress blog that we have that enables different people that subscribe to us to be notified when the site changes. And I guess through a combination of that, the RSS feeds, and Google just basic searching on Athfest, who DJ Andy Redrum brought up as one of his next gigs when we did the review with him some episodes back, 16, I believe.
Yes.
Anyhow, it popped up on Athfest's website, where if you go to Ath Festival and click through their music festival, I believe under summary or something like that, at the end it has track back, and it has a quote from directly from our description. So I must have read the page, mirrored it, got us back. It's nice. It's like that, feels like a strong spidey strand that we shoot. It like catches hold.
Yes, it's like moving up a notch on the Google search. You know, it's like, okay, we're finally, our footprint is there now.
Yeah.
And now it can start to grow. We've made our first step, and we're connected along the interwebs.
Yeah. It's like a ladder that, like, grows.
Yes.
Rungs in it, like a chia pet, but like a ladder. But
well,
without the water.
Let's,
water's like time and people listening to it. Let's what? Sorry.
Welcome back to the show, Ryan.
I didn't do it.
But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. But what are you nerding out on this week?
Nerding up on my soap opera that I've been following.
Okay.
Menopause episodes, as I call them.
Sure.
Men of a Certain Age. Ray Romano, Scott Bakula, your favorite.
Yes.
And that awesome black guy whose name I can't remember. It's a wonderful series, really well written. You would dig it. Heartfelt, but without being too cheesy. Or maybe it's just because I have a kid and a family and I'm more sensitive to certain things. I know I might tear up at commercials more often than I used to. I always did that. Anyhow, the show is great, and it's recently came back after a hiatus, and it's really nice to see the characters there and what they're doing with them and how sad and poignant and it can be, and tender too. So lactating over that, and playing Resident Evil 5 with the missus. Since we had beat Borderlands, we got into a new game. Zombies, not really zombies, kind of like alien parasite driven villagers in Africa, and you're trying to run through there and stay alive, and it's really well done. Lighting's nice, fucking terrifying. It's an old game, but new to the PS3, so it's a deal for us and enjoyable.
Right,
that's what we're nerding out on. Where are you at?
I've been nerding out on the art auction, as I was saying. Mm-hmm. Been watching.
Have you in the called year. In just to like talk up a number?
I almost called in on one thing, and then the bidding immediately, like before before I even like dialed it, the bidding went up to like 150, which was beyond my level of.
Painting?
It was a sculpture of using goose eggs and chicken eggs of Dr. John. It was hand painted. Like, it was a mixture of like 10 different sizes of eggs, but they were all eggs for different appendages and parts of his body. And then each egg was hand painted with like acrylic paint. And it was very detailed. Like, it looked just fucking like him.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Really fucking rad.
How unique can you get, man?
Yeah. And it immediately...
egg sculpture.
It immediately went to like $150, like, before I could even dial. So I was just like, okay, not going to happen. And then I've been nerding out on X-Files. Still been chewing up those episodes. Like, it's my only...
big plate there, buddy.
Like, my only form of sustenance. And then nerding out on my wood burning. Been doing a lot of that. Did a Father's Day gift for my dad. I've been working on the past few days, and bought myself several raw boxes so I can start wood burning some stuff for the Creativity Studio. My first few pieces for them. So I've been busy. It's been good.
Nice. That's good. I love that hobby stuff. We talked about that off air, how great that is to have that self-possessed creative endeavor that you can just pinhole and disappear into. And then after that, you have this thing you've fashioned or changed or, you know, created.
Sure.
So word up, dude. Word up, nerd up.
Word up, nerd up. Well, folks, thanks for joining us on this episode 20. Tell your friends, and if you want some stickers, email us, hit us up on the Facebook page. We will send them to you free of charge, so please let us know. And thank you very much for listening. Tell your friends about us. If you go hang out with cool people, tell them, hey, you should listen to this podcast because I think you'd really like it.
Word.
There you go.
Nerd up, proletariat.
For Ryan, I'm Jonathan. Catch you next time, folks.
The long and short of it is, see, the media, they're gone, because it's all about sensationalism to them. This dog and pony show. It's really sad that we have two branches of government, the legislative branch and the executive branch, that are supposed to be working in tandem with each other to rebuild this city. NOAA is a real issue. I have grave concerns about it. And it strikes me as the same old graft that this city and state is known for. So yeah, it's legitimate to raise these issues. But when are we gonna ever get it together? That we stop letting our egos and money grubbing, whatever, get in the way. I mean, even by the mayor's own admission, their records were shoddy. And it should not have taken a private citizen and, as he called it, an immature investigative reporter to point out what was going on in his office or agency under his office. So I disagree with you that he should, as the executive, launch his own investigation. Although I watch with great curiosity the city attorney almost suggesting that somehow they circumvent the open meetings law by providing documents to the Inspector General. Nothing trumps the open meetings law. And I'm not even a lawyer, but I play one on TV, I can tell you that. So it's just a sad day to continue to come down here and see all of this infighting that goes on between the different branches.